Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, who is Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text today is Matthew chapter 2, the visit of the wise men to Bethlehem. And we are gathered here in church once again. Nice to see a full church on a day of Epiphany. It is an important festival, and it happens to fall on a Sunday this year, so we are very happy to celebrate it with all of God's people. We gather here, though, every week, don't we? 8 o'clock, 10:45. Each week, week after week, come to the same place, sing similar liturgies, similar hymns each year on different festivals and times of the year, read from the same Bible, see the same people. And why do we do it? Why come to the same place each week, the same church week after week? Isn't it perhaps because we want to belong? We want to belong. We want to belong to God and also belong to one another. I think that's an important reason that Christians gather in their churches each week. And today we hear of some people who also wanted to belong. They wanted to belong to a new king. They were not Jewish people. They had nothing to do with the people of Israel. And yet for some reason, they wanted to belong, these magi from the east. They come to Jerusalem because they believe that the king, this new king they want to belong to, will be born there. Now, the people of Jerusalem should know who this king is. The people of Jerusalem, to whom these visitors come seeking the newborn king, should know what's going on. But they have no idea, no clue. They're not even looking. They're too busy with the other things in life, caring for their household, feeding themselves, making a living. Now, these magi, when they come, they don't come and say, "We heard that there might be a king born here in this area." No. St. Matthew records their question. Where is he? Where is the king who is born to be the king of the Jews? Tell us where he's at. We want to go to him. And as someone might have asked, well, why would you come all this way, and what do you want him for? They are quick to answer the words of St. Matthew, "We have come to worship him." Now, that's quite a stretch, isn't it? To travel from some foreign land far in the east, not know where you're going, just following the star because you read somewhere that a king might be born. But they are certain, because they study the Holy Scriptures, they have a certainty, and they see that this is the most important thing in their life right now, is to get to Jerusalem and worship this king. There is no stopping them, no matter how far, how long, or how much the cost is for such a journey. They're going. You know, we grow up with the Bible, most of us, don't we? Baptized as children, taught the Holy Scriptures, go to confirmation classes with the pastor, hopefully our parents teach us in the home through devotions and other Bible readings. And again, coming to church each week, hearing the Scriptures preached and read to us. We grow up with the Bible, we're surrounded with it throughout our life. But so often, when it comes down to the questions in life that really matter, we Christians are often looking elsewhere for the answers. The Bible's there right there in front of us, but we're looking somewhere else for the answers. We try other things to bring us a sense of who we are, our identity, or what we're supposed to do in the world. We might try hobbies or sports or philosophy or other self-help studies. And no wonder we're not satisfied so much of the time. We aren't being fed by the one thing that can really give us that purpose and that meaning, what we're here for. And so the Magi are unlikely examples to us. Come from a foreign land, don't know anything about the Christ or the Jewish faith or the Savior, except a little bit of prophecy, and they come. Now, there's somebody else looking for the child, of course, King Herod, the ruler of that time. Not technically a Jew, but an Ammonite, a foreigner. But he is the one that has been placed over the Jewish people. And he comes and seeks the king of the Jews for another reason, a personal reason, because it is not to come and worship him, just the opposite. There are some things in his life that he wants to hold on to, and this innocent baby is a threat to that, his power and his authority as king. But the wise men, after visiting Herod, go on to worship Jesus. You know, that's okay. God allows this. These people who are not of his tribe, of his race, not people that he's directly revealed himself through, not related to the people through Moses or any of the tribes, they come to worship, and God allows it. He allows it. When the people who should be doing it, the people of Jerusalem and Herod himself, should be ready and willing to go there and worship the Christ. In the Old Testament times, you remember that God was very hard with the people who were not of his tribe and race, the people of Canaan. When they came to settle in the new land, those people were driven out. And if they wouldn't leave, they were killed. Why is that? That God would be so harsh with the outsiders, the Gentiles, as we call them, in the land of Canaan, and welcome these kings? Not kings, but these wise men? Well, it's very simple. The Canaanites worshipped the false god, and so were sinning against the true God, and they had to get out of his presence. But the wise men came to worship the true God and are welcomed, as are all who worship and seek to worship the true God. Now, in the early church, this day of Epiphany that we mark, this coming of the wise men to Bethlehem, was an important day. It was even bigger than Christmas and Easter. Why is that? That's because the people saw the wonder and the amazement at being welcomed into the Christian church. They, like the Magi, were not of the tribe of Israel, and yet they were welcomed. And so we too ought to see ourselves in that picture, because we, after all, are not people living in the Middle East. We're not related by blood that we can trace back to Moses or Aaron or the tribe of Judah. And yet God welcomes us here this day to this church and to this altar. All can come and receive that forgiveness that they find there in worshiping Christ. There is a little bit of danger, though, I think, in our approach to God in this way as we come to worship. Danger because we might come as those people of Jerusalem. We might see in them a little bit of ourselves. And that's what we want to be wary of. The people of Jerusalem don't care. In fact, they don't come at all. They don't know anything about it. So many people today would call themselves Christians, but really never really come into a church, not even Christmas and Easter, let alone a little festival of Epiphany. Don't come to church. Or if they come, they're not coming in the right way. They're not opening their hearts to God, but they're coming for some personal reason other than to worship God and receive the forgiveness of sins. So we would repent of that. Such people who will not even darken the door of a church once a year, I really do not call Christians. For if they were Christians, they'd have a desire to hear God's word. They'd have a desire to grow in their faith. They have a desire to hear preaching, to be convicted of their sins, and find the answer and cure to sin in the gospel of the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ. They would come at any cost to hear again and again this beautiful story, and also to be fed and nourished with the body and blood of Christ. Look at these magi. They come one end of their world to the other, and they're outsiders. They don't belong, but they come anyway, and they're welcomed. Or, even worse, we might become like King Herod, who seeks to know where the Christ child is, not to come and worship, but to cause him harm. Now, how can we, mere mortals, cause harm to God? Well, we hurt him when we hurt his people. And we hurt his people when, through our words, we speak things that are not becoming of Christians. When instead of giving a good Christian witness for the faith, words come out of our mouths that are curses, that call down God's wrath on others. Words that are unbecoming of a worshiper of Christ. Or actions which kill the faith of others when we sin openly. When with our lives we are not worshiping the true God, but we are worshiping our own passions, our own desires. Of these things we repent because we want to belong. We want to belong to the one who comes to us. We want to belong to that light which began to shine in the cradle of Bethlehem and now shines to the whole world. The Magi didn't belong, but they came. And when they came to Bethlehem there, that city of bread, that's what it means, you know, Bethlehem, the city, the house of bread. How appropriate that is, the house of bread, the birthplace of the one who was the manna from heaven, who was the bread of life. When they came to Bethlehem, they brought gifts, brought gold and fragrant things. And that was probably very helpful to Mary and Joseph as they needed some financing for their trip that they were going to take down to Egypt very shortly to get away from the enemies of Christ. They brought these gifts. Nothing was too precious to bring as a gift to this person that they had read about, and they had followed this star to the place of his birth, and now they knelt down and worshiped. So we too, as Christians, when we come into God's presence, when we come to meet him here, we bring gifts, don't we? What do we bring? What are the gifts of our hearts? Well, in this day and age, money is a gift, isn't it? Because it is something that we can easily give. I say easily because of currency, not because we don't care so much for it. Sometimes it becomes an idol for us. And yes, the church does need money. Why does the church need money? Well, it needs to pay its bills like everyone else, doesn't it? But that's not the only gift we bring when we come into God's presence. We also bring our voices, don't we? We bring our voices and we sing those wonderful praises and hymns and songs to the Lord. Sing as the angels proclaimed the news to the shepherds at Christmas. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to the people of earth. This is what the Messiah brings. So our voices, our lips proclaim this. And also as we speak those words, confess our faith, we say together those creeds and confessions and that catechism and those passages of Scripture that teach the faith that we have learned and take to heart. But I think the most important thing, above all these other things that we can bring to the Lord, is really the simplest, but sometimes the hardest for us to give. And that's a humble heart. When we come into God's presence, when we come to the church, we come broken, don't we? We come admitting that we need something from God beyond just our daily bread and the things that we're thinking about to get through this life. We need to be healed. We need forgiveness. We need the Son of God to take our sins away on the cross and to pay that blood atonement for our sin, that forgiveness. That's our greatest need. And the hardest thing for us to do is admit that to God and to each other. But that's what Christ brings us to admit and fills us with his forgiveness. And so we come. No man is an island. John Donne said that in England some 400 years ago. Here's the context of that. Donne wrote, "All mankind is of one author and is one volume. When one man dies, one chapter is not torn out of the book, but translated into a better language. And every chapter must be so translated. And therefore, the bell that rings to a sermon calls not upon the preacher only, but upon the congregation to come. And so this bell calls us all. But how much more me, who am brought so near the door by my sickness? No man is an island, entire of itself. Any man's death diminishes me, because I am so involved in mankind. And therefore, never send to know for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee." He was saying, if you hear a church bell ring for a funeral, don't go and ask, you know, who was that person that died? Because we're all related to that other Christian. You belong. And so if someone else dies, part of you dies too. You belong to God through Christ, and therefore to one another. So people of God, you are here today to worship Christ the King. And so to worship, lift up your voices, sing, pray, confess those holy words that tell what God has done for you in Jesus. Learn from the scriptures for yourself. Teach the children and live what you believe in your everyday life. In this way, we belong. In this way, we show, we demonstrate that we belong. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace that passes understanding will keep your hearts in Christ Jesus and faith in him to life everlasting. Amen.